Welcome to the Day One Podcast. For more information about this weekly half-hour program featuring outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, visit our website at dayone.org.
The Holy Spirit, God within us, reveals to us the condition of our souls. When we listen, the Holy Spirit informs us of our spiritual health.
That's the Reverend Dr. Jim Ellison, pastor of Atlanta First United Methodist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm Peter Wallace. Join us for some stimulating conversation and a message of faith today on Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now, here's your host, Peter Wallace, to introduce this week's preacher.
Thank you, Sherry. Today on Day One, we're honored to have with us the Reverend Dr. Jim Ellison. For the past year, Jim has been the pastor of the historic Atlanta First United Methodist Church in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. Before that, he served as pastor of Providence United Methodist Church in Fayette County, Georgia, a church he started in 1995 and which grew to a membership of over 900 people. Jim, welcome. We're delighted to have you with us.
It's good to be here, Peter.
Atlanta First United Methodist Church has a glorious history. Give us some sense of what made that church so important in this city's history.
Well, at our current location, we are located on 360 Peachtree Street, which is in the heart of downtown Atlanta. And over the years, there have been prominent Atlantans who attended that church, the Gradys from Grady Memorial Hospital, of course. They were part of that church family and many others. But throughout the city, they just had leaders, and through that influence, it had an influence throughout the city.
And then it has gone through, in more recent years, a bit of a struggle in terms of the population shifts and so forth. But you were the pastor of a thriving suburban church, which you had planted. So what drew you to take on this major assignment in this urban setting?
Well, as you know, Atlanta has gone through many, many changes over the last four decades. And the church had gone through some decline over the last several decades. And because of the influx in the city with new people, what a great opportunity it was to come here. And it's like beginning a new church in a lot of ways here in the city. And the bishop had called, and that was an opportunity to come to Atlanta.
Well, tell us a little bit about Providence United Methodist Church in Fayette County, the church you served over 10 years.
12 years.
12 years. Mm-hmm. What was it like to see something you'd worked so hard to get started grow to become such a vibrant community of faith?
Most exciting ministry to see something that is non-existent and to be part of the beginning and to see God work through that to bring about life change. And that's what happened at Providence. We, like I said, we were there for 12 years and started with eight couples and grew to 700 in attendance when we left in June of 07. And it was so exciting. It really was.
Well, are you applying some of the experiences you learned in planting that church to this new situation at Atlanta First, or is it a totally different ministry scenario there?
Well, you know, in Fayette County, we left a campus of 100 acres and multi facilities to being on a block downtown Atlanta, the heart of the capital of the South, sitting between Peachtree Street and West Peachtree. So you can imagine the change just from location, what we're experiencing here. But a lot of the same principles. You find a need in the community, you meet those needs. In suburbs, you grow a church by offering the very best children's ministry and youth ministry and best worship experience you can provide. And in the city, what we are focusing on here at Atlanta First is meeting the needs of those all around us, of those who are poor, and having local missions as our primary ministry at the church.
Wonderful. Well, your sermon today is based on one of the most beloved pieces of Scripture of all time, Psalm 23. Yes. Would you read it for us?
Sure. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Of course, as I said, this is one of the most beloved scriptures. It's also one of the most often read. So when you approach a familiar passage like this, how do you look at it with fresh eyes? How do you open yourself up to its meaning?
I'll look, Peter, for words that I have not used before in any sermons, anything that's new in that way. For example, in today's sermon, the phrase restoreth my soul, that was the key phrase. And there's a lot of talk about souls today, and you hear that phrase and restoring and the restoration of Atlanta. You hear that phrase here in the city. And so that was kind of my focus on this particular sermon, and that's what drew me to this particular psalm.
Well, Jim, we look forward to learning more about this in your sermon entitled Soul Restoration. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter.
This past week, as part of my annual physical, I had an EKG. Each year I go through this process of being connected to a machine that tells the technician and the doctors how my heart is doing. That's what an EKG does. One lies still while the machine reveals how the heart is functioning. My EKG didn't take long, just a minute or two, and within minutes the technician was scanning my personal printout. After a few quick glances, she said, "Well, your heart looks okay to me, but we need for the doctor to take a look." Well, when the doctor arrived, he too took a quick glance at the printout. He smiled and said, "You know what, Jim? I think you can sign up for another 40 years. Those words were music to my ears. And I asked him, "Really, Doc, what do you look for when you read an EKG? What is it that you're focusing on?" And he said, "I've been trained to recognize a healthy heart. I know what your heart should look like, how it is supposed to function. We can read the EKG and detect that healthy heart. So what we're looking for are indications that something is wrong. We're looking for something that would show that the heart is not healthy or some damage has been done. And we know what that looks like as well. We're looking for what looks wrong, what needs addressing. And then hopefully we can determine a solution that will restore your heart to functioning properly." I thought about my experience this week with the EKG, and I want to invent a similar machine, a spiritual EKG. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't it really be worth our while if we could plug ourselves up to a machine and the machine would say, "Your soul needs to be addressed. There's something wrong with your soul." Or we could read the printout and it would say, "Your soul is functioning properly." Wouldn't it be nice if we had access to that type of machine? Well, the reality is, for those of us who are believers, who have said yes to God, we do have access to the condition of our souls. The Holy Spirit, God within us, reveals to us the condition of our souls. When we listen, the Holy Spirit informs us of our spiritual health. This has been my experience throughout my faith journey. I know firsthand what it means to be in need of a soul that needs restoring. For me, when my soul needs restoring, I am plagued with specific symptoms. I don't sleep well. I'm fatigued, irritable. relationships that should fill me up literally drain me. Oh, I know what it is like to be in need of some soul restoration. As a matter of fact, if I had my spiritual EKG hooked up over the last couple of weeks, there would have been days that I would have been rushed to the ER. I know what it is to feel that sense of need, to know without a doubt that I'm in need of soul restoration. What I've discovered along my faith journey is that I am in continual need of soul restoration. It's not a one-time experience. It's not that my soul is restored and then I'm good for 2 years or 4 years or until my next checkup. Keeping my soul restored does not work that way for me. What I've discovered is that I am in continual need of soul restoration. Friends, the world in which we live can be very destructive to our souls. The world has a way of depleting our souls. Thus, we must be on guard at all times because we are in continual need of soul restoration. You are. You're in need of continual soul restoration. Your soul is the very essence of who you are. It's your mind, your heart, your spirit, everything within you. And yes, you are in continual need of having your soul restored. You know exactly what it's like, as I do, to make a statement that reflects an unhealthy soul. You usually make this statement to yourself or to someone you love or to a friend or even to God. You utter the words, "I am in need of some relief. I'm in need of some help." Like me, you know what it is like to cry out those words. And you make the mistake that I do. I attempt to restore my soul with my own strength. I attempt to fix my soul on my own. I attempt to take care of things myself. But friends, each time I attempt to restore my soul with my own strength, I fail. I ultimately fail. You too try to keep your soul healthy and restored with your own strength, don't you? This is why so many of you right now are questioning your purpose. There has got to be more to life than this. This is why you currently have relationships in your life that drain you. Rather than lifting you up, these relationships bring you down. Face it, you are going through this difficult season because you are in need, right this moment, of soul restoration. You are in continual need of having your soul restored. You are. You do have a soul. You may neglect it, but you were created with a soul. And if you do not tend to your soul, the consequences are devastating. They really are. You do not want to end this season of your life and look back and say, "I've wasted so much time." You don't want to have that conversation with yourself. But until you take the appropriate measures to restore your soul, you're in danger of living that life. Friends, you are in continual need of soul restoration. Our text this morning is from the psalmist David, and we all love this beautiful psalm. The 23rd psalm has brought comfort to all of us at some point along our faith journey. David understood his need for soul restoration. He could have had anything, but he knew he could not have his soul restored on his own strength. He understood that clearly. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." In other words, God gives me everything I need. I think it's interesting that David uses the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep. Do you realize how stupid sheep are? I mean, really, think about this. Sheep are pitiful animals. They really are. They can't fend for themselves. They don't see well. They easily stray when they're not paying attention. They need someone to take care of them at all times. The Lord is my shepherd. I was talking with a friend this week and telling him I was preaching on this particular text. He shared with me some interesting facts regarding shepherding. He said shepherds at night will usually herd their sheep back in their pen so they won't stray. But sometimes they'll let the sheep wander throughout the fields at night. The sheep, because of the wool so heavy, the sheep will sometimes just fall over in the fields, literally fall over. If they walk on the side of a hill, it's very feasible for the sheep to fall and not be able to get back up. The shepherd in the morning will go out and find the sheep lying on their backs all throughout the pasture because they can't get up on their own strength. The shepherd will have to pick the sheep up, literally set them on their feet, reorient them, and then let go of them so they can go on their way. We are sheep, aren't we? The Lord is our shepherd. I shall not want. Friends, that's all we need. That is all we need. It's interesting that phrase, He leads me beside the still waters. In Hebrew, that one phrase can also be translated, He leads me beside the waters of rest. I like that. Too often, my soul needs rest. Too often, I need the good shepherd leading me to lie down in the green pastures, leading me to those waters that give me rest. And you do too, don't you? You are in continual need of soul restoration. You are. You're kidding yourself if you're not attending to your soul. I have a good friend who just restored a 1968 Cutlass convertible. It's red, beautiful. We would drink coffee throughout the week while he was restoring this car. I didn't know this, but there are companies that do nothing but sell original parts so that people who have more money than I'll ever have can just spend it on restoring old vehicles. My friend, he did just that. He would order the original parts from these specialized magazines. He would go back to the original source and purchase the parts the car was intended to have. My friend went on to explain to me that there are people out there who will sell you imitation parts. He said, you know, Jim, you have to know the company where you buy the parts. You need to know who is selling you what. You need to go to the right source. I know there are many of us who do not go to the right source when it comes to our soul restoration. We would rather have that void filled in our lives with our stuff, homes, nice cars, just stuff. We'd rather, some of us, read our horoscopes than go to the Almighty. What are we thinking, really? What are we thinking that anything other than the Almighty can restore our souls? Why are we living that lie? We do it, though. Only the Almighty, only He can restore our souls as the Creator intended us to be. And you are in continual need of soul restoration. Let me share with you quickly how I restore my soul. Simply three things I've discovered. The first soul restoring application is making sure that I'm reading God's Word and am meditating on it. Listening to God. When my soul is in need of restoration, the Almighty uses the Scriptures to replenish and to fulfill. If your spiritual diet does not currently include some type of spiritual reading plan, your soul will reflect that. If you need a place to start, open up to the Psalms and begin reading one Psalm each day and see how God will begin your soul restoration. Secondly, I look for individuals who are in a difficult place in life. I look for those who are worse off than I am. I look for someone else who is having a little bit harder time than old Ellison here. And I become the hands and feet of Christ for that person. The number one counseling advice I give to those who come to me who are currently going through a difficult time is to find someone else in need. And then serve them as Christ would. And thirdly, my soul is restored through corporate worship and partaking of Holy Communion. Coming and partaking of this holy meal restores my soul. I want to encourage you, take care of your soul. Don't neglect it. It's not worth it. It's hard work tending to your soul. It's not easy. And sometimes it's painful. But continual soul restoration is a must for the believer. Go to the Almighty and say, God, help me. I need you to restoreth my soul. I need you, O God. What else? What else do I need? Nothing. You take me to the places where I can rest, where my soul can rest, and then you restore me. Friends, don't neglect your soul. And yes, you are in need of continual soul restoration. Amen. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Gracious God, we are aware that we are in need. We are in need of having our souls restored. Like the psalmist David, help us see you as that wonderful shepherd that leads us to that place of rest where we can be restored, renewed, created to be the person that you are calling us to be. Lord, help us to continually seek for our souls to be restored. Amen.
Now let's rejoin our host, Peter Wallace, and Jim Ellison for some final thoughts on this week's message.
We are in continual need of soul restoration, you explained, Jim, and I like your dream concept of the spiritual EKG, a way to find out how healthy our soul is and how to fix it. You said that that essentially can happen if we listen to the Holy Spirit within us. Could you say a little more about that? How do we do that?
Well, as believers, we believe that God is within us, the Holy Spirit, and I have discovered, for me, going to the Scriptures, reading and asking God, what do you have for me in this passage? I think too often, Peter, when we go to God, we're telling Him, this is our to-do list, God, this is what you need to do for me, rather than, God, what do you have for me today through the Scriptures? So primarily, I listen to God through the Scriptures, and God often speaks to me through other people as well.
Well, I want to ask you about that, because are there ways that the community of Christ, the local congregation we're part of, our brothers and sisters in faith, can help us in that process of listening to the Spirit without maybe overstepping their bounds in that regard?
I think so. For me, asking questions is the key. You need to go back to the Scriptures. Jesus was constantly asking questions. And so in the faith community, and Christian conferencing is one of the things that we practice in the Methodist Church. We ask questions. How are you doing in this particular area? What has God shared with you here? Or how are you feeling about this? Or where do you feel God leading you down this particular path or not?
You said soul restoration is not a one-time shot. It's continual. We face people and events and crises in life that constantly affect our spiritual relationship with God. Are there ways that we can be more intentional about keeping our soul in good spiritual shape on an ongoing basis?
Oh, I think so, definitely. And one of the things that that I think is critical for soul restoration is serving others. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that we've tried to practice here in Atlanta is if you are going through a difficult time, if you know there is something not right with your soul, ask God to use you to serve someone who's in worse shape than you, someone who is down and out. And I've discovered personally, God restores my soul when I serve others. And I have had numerous conversations with people in the city when they went out to be the hands and feet of Christ. God ministered to them. They received so much more than they could have possibly given.
And your church, Atlanta First, is providing a great example for how a congregation can do that. What would you suggest to listeners who would like to have their church more involved in this aspect of soul restoration, of service, and to do that more effectively?
Well, I think if I was in a church family out in the suburbs or out in the country, I would ask the question, have a conversation in the church. What are the biggest needs? What are the biggest needs in our community? And how can we as a church be the hands and feet of Christ? Not necessarily how can we go out and pass out tracts or go, quote, convert people, but rather how can we literally meet the needs of those in the community there and put together a plan and follow through with that.
And you cautioned us to go to the right source for soul restoration.
Yes.
That there are imitation spiritual resources that can actually harm our souls. How can we test those sources to ensure we're getting the proper soul care?
Scripture. Mm-hmm. That is the test. If the advice that you receive is in line with God's Word at that point, and then that's my check and balance there.
Jim, what's the one thing from your sermon today that you hope our listeners will keep in mind this week?
Each of us is in continual need of soul restoration. It's a daily journey that we're on, and each day we are to say, God, restoreth my soul.
Jim Ellison, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
Day One brings you preachers from the United Methodist Church, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, the Episcopal Church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, the Presbyterian Church USA, and the United Church of Christ. Day One is a production of the Alliance for Christian Media. Donald Jones is our production supervisor and audio engineer, and Peter Wallace, our executive producer. It's been our joy to bring you today's program. Thanks for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller, wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever. Thank you for listening to Day One, the only program on the air today that brings you the positive and meaningful message of the mainline Protestant churches. Every week, hundreds of thousands of people like you appreciate the insight and inspiration Day One offers, on the radio and online. A listener from Batavia, New York writes, "I praise God each and every week for the radio broadcast and the online reading of the sermons. I read the sermon as part of my preparation for teaching an adult Sunday school class. Then I and members of the class listen to the sermon on our local radio station before church. Our church has put Day One on its mission support list." A listener in Huntsville, Alabama writes, "Thank you for your continuing excellence over the years. I appreciate, too, your user-friendly website. Please share with us your thoughts about Day One and consider supporting this ministry financially. Send your contribution to Day One, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. Or call us toll-free at 1-888-411-DAY1. Or give securely online at dayone.org. Thank you for your support.